Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it is Big Red, Brother B in the house. Another episode of the menu on Blog Talk Radio. What up, what up, what up, what up, what up? Hope all is well with everyone. And yeah, hi.
Yeah.
What's up, Red? What's going on? How you doing?
Good. Chilling.
You know.
Hey, you.
That's good. Yo, I ain't gonna lie, man. I'm sleepy. Because working overnights. I've been working overnights for like probably like maybe 15 years, man. Well, really like damn near 13 years steady. And even though it's like a shift that I prefer to work because it keeps me away from the human. Like, because you know the high, you know, more humans during the day than at night sometimes. But, you know, sometimes your body, like if you haven't gotten used to it by a certain amount of time, then it's like you're never going to get used to it. And then since I'm off tonight, like I have to kind of like, I had to stay up for a little bit because if I go take the hard nap, then I'll be up for the night. Then I can't sleep.
Yeah, well, like that's the thing of working at night because you're used to being up at night. So now... You're so used to doing it until now it's like going to sleep at night is not, you know, it's not going to work out.
Cool, nah, besides, man, I went to the dentist last week. Yeah, oh, my God. The things we do to try to stay healthy. Oh, my gosh. So,
let me just tell everybody,
those deep cleanings are no joke. Deep cleaning is no joke. When they get in them gums, they get in. I had a situation. I'm not gonna get into it. Let's just say, yeah, it was real life. It was
an experience.
So, oh, an experience
that you could have avoided.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know flossing was that serious.
But you didn't know about that, right?
Flossing. And so listen to all my listeners out there, to all our listeners, listen, floss. Get your floss on. Don't be like Brother B. Show up to the dentist, and next thing you know, they're like, oh, my gosh. Like, oh, you need to floss. You need to floss more. And then I have to pay the price with the deep cleaning and deal with the after effects after that. Yeah. Because after this show, I'm about to pop some Excedrin. It's a wrap. It's a wrap for the night. Night-night. Say night-night for me. Yo, once again, what up, everybody? Big Red must be with the menu on Blog Talk Radio. Guest calling number is 347-324-3395. That is 347-324-3395. You can catch us on Facebook at the menu, Mind Your Mental. You can also catch us on Instagram and on Twitter. You know, Twitter, Brother B Vision 7. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. I hate when I get the brain fart. Yeah, Instagram, at the menu, Mind Your Mental, MindURMENTAL. Brain fart like a mofo.
Brain fart.
Yeah. So, and more likely, you know, this will be, you know, the last show until after Thanksgiving. Because, you know, next Tuesday, I'll be focused. I got to go get my cook on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, got a lot of stuff.
I got beef and pots. So, you know, everybody, hope you have a, you know, a great holiday and, you know, enjoy and all that good stuff. And don't overdo it. Don't do it. Don't overdo it, man. Don't overdo it. Everything in moderation. Let's say it. We all say it together, class. Moderation. Yes, everything in moderation.
Moderation.
So, tonight's topic. One of those topics for me. It's the power in titles. Is it ever that serious? Now, this topic came about as I believe we were talking about the whole thing with the judge and the written our case. Shout out to our peoples on the Absolute Truth, Hot Rod, Sean Black, K Dog. You know, Absolute Truth show. You know, Monday nights, 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You know, rest in peace as always, Lady T. They were speaking, you know, on that. And then I guess me and Red got into a discussion, you know, partially on that. And the thing is,
right,
the judge on this case really seems like he just, like, yo, he just, I didn't know the way to put it, like he's biased. Like he's just, you know, he's made it clear whose side that he's on. Now, mind you, justice is supposed to be blind, but you're a judge, and you made it clear, like, yo, I'm rooting for this kid, and I'm gonna make sure that this kid, you know, basically gets a slap on the hand. Now,
right.
I'll be honest, it's. You know, some people can do the comparisons. I saw somebody post something on Facebook about Rittenhouse and then post something about, you know, Tamir Rice. But this is not the same type of thing. This kid, Rittenhouse, is basically a wannabe vigilante, wannabe cop. And I think the system is really showing its ass and its bias on this because they're kind of coddling this kid. And they're making it clear that two lives, or, you know, basically the two lives that were lost and the one person that he injured, like, don't even matter. Because, you know, it's okay for you to get a, you know, go get a long gun and get a ride from your mother to cross state lines to go, you know, be of some type of help, as he claimed, to,
right,
you know, whether whoever they deemed them rioters and looters to help protect property, and you wind up getting yourself in some situation where your ass should have been home playing video games.
And how
anyway,
old was he when this happened?
Miss Cherry, help me out. What's up, Miss Cherry?
I'm Miss Cherry.
Was he like 17?
Hi, guys. Yeah, he's 17. He was 17.
Okay, he was 17
years
old.
Yes, 17
years
old, long gun.
Right, 17 years old. And your judgment is like, who gave him that idea in his head and said that, well, okay, we need you? Or what idea, like, how did he get the idea in his head saying, oh, well, I need to go and protect property or co-protect this, that, and, you know, like, who gave you that idea? What gave you that idea?
That's stuff like that. It should be a part of the mental issue episode that we need to do soon, because that's a mental issue. I mean, the kid was on this whole cadet thing. He wanted to be a police officer. And,
I'm sorry, can
and,
I
you know,
just
I,
say this? Why are we calling him a kid when our children, they're deemed adults at 14 and 15? He's 17.
Absolutely.
Isn't that considered an adult? Okay. I just want to correct that.
Listen, hey, I'm with you on that. I just don't want to call him a man, because no real men do stuff like that. Like, that right there is ridiculous. So we'll just call him We'll call them trash. Since we'll call them trash. Since the human, since the other two, you know, the two people that he killed are, you know, they can't be called victims.
Yeah.
They have to, you know, the judge said they could be called, you know, rioters and looters. We'll just call this kid, I'm sorry. We'll call Rittenhouse or Rittenhour or whatever the hell his name is. We'll just call him trash because that's exactly what he is. And I'm sorry, but to most of the people who support him, your way of thinking, you're entitled to your opinion, but you really need to look at that. You really, you know what I'm saying? And my thing is the judge. The power that these people have to sway people, to influence people, the power that this judge has to just basically, you know, just change the tide of things and say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to say he's going to call them rioters and looters. They're not going to be considered victims. How do you disrespect the dead like that? Like, how do you disrespect the families, you know, of these people that died and the other guy that was injured? Like, how do you just do that? Like, what gives you that? Like, how do you feel so entitled to do so?
Because he feels I'm a judge and I could do that.
Listen,
that's just basically bottom line.
So I've been watching this from the beginning. The actual court, apparent that the judge is biased. I feel free to say he comes across as being prejudiced and racist in certain aspects. It's apparent that...
Wait, could you pause right there, Ms. Sherry? The reason why I'm pausing you because I have to say something. He could come across prejudiced and all this other stuff, but yo, this is a white kid. This is a white dude that shot three white people.
Right.
So it's like, you know what I'm saying? So that's the interesting thing about it. It's like one thing that Hot Rod said on the show, on his show last night, was like, is this a thing of white privilege? How could it be any white privilege when it's white on white crime? But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Sherry.
Well, when I said as far as prejudice, yeah, of course, it was white on white crime. I think he shot the two guys were Jewish, I'm guessing, by their last names. But definitely privilege. I'm going to say based on the way he was talking, he comes from money. And there was like no remorse. I know we saw him squeezing his eyes and crying and breaking down and having a panic attack,
ugly.
If that's what they want to call it.
That was ugly.
It came back so phony. I mean, I saw him go from like almost hysterical mental breakdown to like maybe 2 minutes later back on there saying, well, he shouldn't have ran at me. If he hadn't run to me, if he had stopped when I told him to stop, he would be alive. How do you go from that to like, you know, you could just see this kid has no remorse, but they also have suppressed. When I said the judge was prejudiced, I meant as far as in the favor of the defendant because they've suppressed so much information. This kid was out there with the Proud Boys. The friend he keeps talking about, that one guy he keeps referring to, is some big figure in the Proud Boys. He was there. He the sixth charge, which was it's illegal for, I believe, a person under the age of 18 to carry a rifle. He had one, but the judge went over there, and I guess the rifle has to be a certain length. The judge dismissed the charge because he said the prosecutor did not measure the length of the gun so that they couldn't guarantee that it had met that length requirement. So
it's
one
bullshit.
Charge he
That's
got
bullshit.
Completely right. Exactly. You see where this is going. And it's just
of course.
Throughout the whole trial, so many things have been dismissed and covered. This kid misrepresented himself as being an EMT trained. He has no training. He has no certification. Remember, he was down there to help people. That's why he brought the rifle. The thing that we did find out about him was he's
out there to help him to Jesus.
Yeah, he's a nursing student at Arizona State. He goes to another state to help clean up graffiti on buildings. These are the things that the judge allowed in, but he didn't want to be allowed in his character. He lied about his profession. He was on TV bragging to news reporters that he was an EMT and he was there to help. He was, another thing, he was there supposedly, to guard, say, this building over here. I think it was a gas station. But yet, he kills this man a couple of blocks down. How did he get from the gas station a couple of blocks down? He didn't belong over there. He didn't belong in that state, period, because
right.
he said he was watching TV and it was crazy, and he wanted to come and help. So he jumped in his car and he drove down there. What help can you give them with a gun? You don't have the
exactly.
training to help them. You're not certified. He could have tried to help somebody and wound up hurting them more. So
right,
there's just
exactly.
so many inconsistencies. He's definitely not being treated the way anybody that I've ever seen be treated. You get to dismiss your jurors. We already started out on the jury. I think it was only one minority, and that was a black male. The rest were dismissed. And I think they said the makeup is, I think it was 18 up until today. They had the 12 jurors and they had the six subs. He dismissed six today. He got to choose the 12 that he wanted to make the final decision. And we don't know who he dismissed, but I'm going to guess that if there was only one minority out of 18 left, then I'm going to guess he's no longer on there making that decision.
Right.
So, Ms. Cherry, let me ask you a question. What do you think about the overall, like, what do you think about this judge? Like, do you feel like he's abusing his power? About, you know, is he overstepping, like, with everything that he's doing?
So this is the thing, right? So the law is made to be interpreted, and the judge is actually there to interpret or help them to interpret the law. So it's not that he's overstepping. He's choosing to define it in a way that suits the defendant more than the prosecutor. That's what it boils down to. It's not that he's making up a law. It's just that he's using the law and he's choosing to interpret it in a way where it favors the defendant, and that's obvious.
But now, Red,
and they're not liking
you, but
it, but it's within the guidelines.
Okay, I get that. But Red, do you think that would still fall under the lines of abusing your power when you choose? See, the thing is law is the law. What's in script is in script. What's right is right, and what's wrong is supposed to be wrong. So when you choose to ignore what's right and you only pick up the things that are wrong and try to manipulate it as to where it sounds right or looks right, isn't that some type of abuse, you know, of your power, your standing?
Right.
Like,
I believe so. I believe that's exactly what it is, because he's using his own judgment he's using his own judgment. As you said, you're supposed to be fair. As a judge, you're supposed to listen to evidence. As a judge, you're supposed to, you know, that's how you weigh out the good and the bad, or that's how you weigh out, well, whether this person, well, basically, whether they're guilty or innocent. It's like, and then when it's out there and it's like common sense, but being that maybe it'll go back to like, what is that term that they use, like that the good old boys, like the good old boys, I don't know if it's called the syndrome or whatever. Right, like that good old boy club where it's like, oh, well, you know, he's one of us, and, you know, he probably knew his, you know, who knows, probably knew his dad or something like that,
maybe the judge is down with the Proud Boys himself.
Right, maybe he might be, right, absolutely, he might be part of that. Like I said, his great-great-grandfather probably one of the Proud Boys, and they called him something else back then. Who knows? So that's what I'm saying. It's just like he's going off of his own judgment, and I don't feel it's supposed to be like that. And just like you said, it is like an abuse of your power.
See, my
he knows he has that power. He knows he has that power. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to use this to my advantage, or the kid's advantage or whatever.
I think what we're seeing is, even though we're looking at it, and I saw that video, they floated down. He literally shot at four people. He hit three, and he killed two. but he attempted to kill four. I think
I didn't even see the video.
They played it over and over again, but I think that they have a problem sending a young white kid to jail. It's just apparent. It's every reason is coming up why, you know, a lapse in judgment. He was only 17. You know, he thought he was doing something good. It doesn't matter what he thought. He didn't think he was doing anything good. If he did, he would have went down there during the daytime. When the,
right.
when the state curfew came in
without
at
a gun.
6 o'clock,
without a gun.
He would have went home. Yeah, he would have went home. What was he doing there after curfew? He was breaking the law by being out there. We're not even talking about carrying the rifle because that no longer counts against him. They dismissed that. It's just so many things
along
they
did?
The way that
wow.
Shows. Yeah,
they
yeah,
did?
Yeah. They dismissed that.
There's so
wow.
many things along
yeah.
the way that shows he had no respect for life, for the law, for authority, or anything else. But yet, we see him on the stand that he's crying, and we have to listen to him. He's a nursing student at Arizona State, and he's trying to be an EMT, and he's trying to help all these people. This is the character that they want us to get of him. And then they want to block out everything else that's reality, too. How are your friends cowboys if you're not one? You know, everybody that went there, you were willing to go there? Did your friends think it was a bad idea? You know, for you to show up, or were they carrying like you? So it's just a lot
right.
of questions.
Right, but, you know, it's like, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, go ahead.
No, it's the thing, you know, like what you're saying, I'm in agreement, because once again, it's like, they say all of that, but then when it comes to, you know, like I said, it boils down to, once again, the you know, that I'll say, even though he may have killed white people, it's still a white privileged thing, because once again, if that was a young man of color, they would have, all of that would have still been said, and they still would have said, oh, well, he's guilty, oh, he had a gun, oh, this, that, it would, you know, they would have brought up, they, you'd have said all of that, and then they still would have brought up, oh, well, when he was 10, he stole a pack of candy from the store, and it's, you know, they would have still brought up something negative, but they're trying to bring all this positive stuff with this young man, and trying to paint this picture, just as you say, crying on the stand and this and that. And other. But then, I mean, you know,
you
just
know,
like you said, he took, you know.
They compared it to Trayvon Martin. I mean, Trayvon Martin was murdered when he was walking to his dad's house with Skittles and whatever it was.
They can't compare. They can't compare.
And the mother should be accountable, too.
But meanwhile, we had to know that Trayvon Martin wasn't in school because he got caught smoking weed the week before. And then
right.
we had to know that he was in. All of that had nothing to do with the fact that he could not walk from the store to his dad's house without being harassed and ultimately killed. But that got introduced as a character witness to show his character, to defame his character. And they mentioned with the Arbery case. We had to know that Arbery, who was jogging down the street, minded his business when he was chased by these three men that had nothing to do with anything, that he, I believe he had a gun charge on him when he was like a teenager. Why do
yeah,
we
see what I'm saying? Right.
He's what, 25, 26 years old. Why do we need to know what he did as a 17 or 18-year-old, and it had nothing
exactly.
to do with the fact that he was jogging? So it just goes to show you it is an interpretation thing. Like I said, the judge is not doing anything that's illegal, maybe a little bit immoral. But I think he's showing more of who his character is and where he stands and what he believes. And from what I get, he believes that this boy needs to go home. He doesn't need to go to jail.
So before K-Dog comes in, what's up, K-Dog? My issue, like I said, it's a real issue when these people that are elected and put in these positions, whether it be law enforcement, judges, these politicians. I mean, shit, let's get real. Even supervisors at work. I mean, it's a title. It's a label. It's something that you either get fired from, you retire from, or you quit. If you seem to think that these jobs or these roles are who you are, and you can do whatever or say whatever you can to people, like you're an like, in my opinion, you're just an asshole. Like, to me, this judge is an asshole, straight up and down. But like I said, that's just my opinion. There's no one else's opinion up here but Brother B's. Because if you can go that far to interpret the law, manipulate the law, and basically just downplay every wrong thing that this kid has done, whether it's a judge or whether it's a cop or whether it's, you know, anyone else, a politician, someone that you work with who has a title, like, you're absolutely wrong, and I'm going to call a spade a spade. I believe you're a piece of shit human. It's just certain things that you just don't do, and there's a clear double standard. When we look at this trash compared to other cases where, yes, the Trayvon Martin, just walking home from the store with a bag of Skittles and something to drink, and he gets harassed. He gets profiled by some low-life wannabe cop, just like Rittenhouse trash, wannabe cop, and kill somebody. And it's supposed to be okay. I don't, you know what I'm saying, for the life of me, I don't get it, never will get it, and I just found it, I find it downright disrespectful and it's demeaning. Like, it should never be a time where your title or your label, you know, overrides your humanity. But I guess in a lot of cases, these people are not really human at all. They are immoral. Like, they are trash. If they can actually look at this trash himself and say, hey, he didn't do anything wrong. Hey, it wasn't illegal. You're going to try to make every excuse for the fact that he traveled across state lines underage with a firearm, a long gun. And you try to say, no, it wasn't a certain length, so it wasn't considered this or it wasn't considered that. That's bullshit. It's all bullshit. And it just goes to show you, whether it's the system in any other country or, but let's talk about here, the system in this country of America. Justice is not blind. It's peeking under the blindfold and saying, oh, I don't like you. You're okay. You're okay. Nope. We have to get you. That's just what it is. K-Dog, what's up?
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm listening to what everybody's saying, and I said it before I said it last night, and I say it again. Had it been a young black man who would have done what this Rittenhouse kid did, they would have thrown the book at him. They wouldn't. This case would be shortened because they would have found everything to convict him with. And you know, where this crime happened was at a protest where this guy went there with the intent to kill, because you don't even live there and you show up there with a gun, and not any gun, an AR-15.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he stands there on the stand, crocodile tears, just to gain sympathy for the crime that he did. And I've seen this happen before. I've seen that crocodile tear act happen before, and it worked. Do you remember when Amadou Diallo, the poor man who was shot at 41 times by those four cops,
uh-huh.
One of the cops who went on the stands in Albany when Rudolph Giuliani helped those cops get off,
mm-hmm.
He stood there and cried on the stand saying that he tried everything to revive Diallo after shooting him. He stood there and cried on the stand, cried crocodile tears, boo-hooed and everything. And you know what? At the end results, guess what? Those cops got off.
So did.
Now, the judge in this case, the judge is actually siding with this kid, even yelling at the prosecutor.
Absolutely.
Getting into it. With the prosecutor, and he's siding with this criminal. This criminal, you know, and I'm going to call him a murderer, because you went there on an intent to kill. What were you doing at a pro? You see people protesting. Yeah, you're showing up with a gun. You are showing up with a gun. Ain't that something?
You was waiting for something.
K-Dog, what does that say to you? What does that say? Like, everything that this judge is doing, and it seems like a lot of people are just turning, you know, a blind eye. Like, there's no uproar. There's no, like,
no one
is taking it to the streets or anything or saying this is a miscarriage of justice. Nothing. Like, what does that say to you about the system? What does that, like, what, does it give you any hope?
Well, let me just say this truthfully, and I'm going to say it. I'm going to be clean because there's ladies here. The system's all messed up. It is all messed up. Let's be real, 100% real on this. This system, when it comes to us as a people, it never works for us. It never
did.
Well,
I mean, I see it, you know, I mean, before Miss Cherry comes in, I really see it as just, I mean, this is just a shining example, a prime example.
Yes, it is.
Of why you cannot trust the system.
You can't trust it.
Not just the system, but you can't really sometimes trust the people that you put in place. Like, to me, this judge should have been recused a long time ago. Once you saw that he was biased, he should have been recused a long time ago. But, of course, they're not going to do it. It's not going to be allowed because, you know, there are people out there that really believe that this kid is a saint.
Yeah, they looked at him as a hero because
really
they said, oh, he was being attacked.
He did no wrong.
He was being attacked, and so he defended himself. He had to defend himself, and again, crying like a...
He had to defend himself. He would never had to defend himself.
Really?
He was never there. He wasn't even supposed to be there.
Right. He wasn't even supposed... Exactly. He wasn't supposed to be there. He went up and... Went up and cried.
You didn't
protect...
You didn't protect... He wasn't protecting his own personal interest. He was... It's different if somebody was on his lawn. Or in his house, doing that.
Or attacked him physically.
Yeah, but he was in a whole other state and took it to another level. And the thing is, I'm just really shocked how nothing more is being said, especially when it comes down to the so-called media. So-called, you know, media, whether it's these CNBCs or these Foxes or whatever. I'm surprised that no one is really making a stink out of it and calling a spade a spade. Because this
exactly.
is truly, truly, like, this is wrong. It's totally
it is. It's
wrong.
It's a total wrong.
And I don't,
it's like their death.
And
didn't,
I don't,
it's like their lives didn't matter.
Yeah, and I don't understand, once again, that, you know, to the topic, I don't understand how people in these positions feel that they have that power and no one checks them. Like, this judge feels like he can't be checked. And no one has stepped in to even say anything. Yes, Ms. Chuck, what's up?
I don't know if it's true, but I was told that none of the judges wanted to take the case because it was a high-profile case. We know that you're saying that nobody's coming up to protest. They've already called in the National Guard because the jurors are out deliberating. And they know that if they come back and it's not what most of the people want that are in Kenosha, it's going to be a problem. So they're already on
standby. Hell's going to break loose.
Right, that's just like
with George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
They put out
and this is not even a Black Lives Matter thing. This is just a thing.
It's not.
Straight wrong. It's just straight wrong.
Yeah.
A miscarrying of justice.
But if you consider that no other judge wanted to take it on, you know, he pretty much said yes, and he's going to bring his beliefs. Like you said, like I said, I felt he's biased. I feel he's prejudiced. But he's only bringing himself. He has resided on a lot of other cases, and I'm sure we've seen this part of his character show up in those cases also. This one's just televised. The only difference is the world is watching. So I'm sure there have been many, many cases where people who probably should have went to jail didn't, and others that possibly should have been given a little bit more leeway weren't. And it was all based on who he is as a person.
But Ms. Cherry, let me ask you this. So how does he effectively do his job? How does somebody like that affect? Are they really effective at doing their job? With what he's doing?
like I said, he's not making up the law. He's just choosing to explain it in a way that favors the defendant. Just like, say, if most of us felt that this Kyle, which they keep calling him by his baby name, Kyle, instead of Killer or Rittenhouse.
Murderer.
Trash.
If we felt that Kyle was innocent, we wouldn't have a problem with the way that he's handling things. Him, you know, the personal attacks against the prosecutor, you know, obvious evidence that's not being allowed to be admitted into, you know, the court files and things like that. We wouldn't have a problem with it. But we as a society, or at least, you know, the people here, I assume, we all see that it's wrong. Not everybody feels that way. Some people feel, you know, if it's true that he was part of the Proud Boys, which is associated with the KKK, and Rittenhouse is in an area, a small area, and he's privileged, and we don't know who his family is, but they seem a little, something seems a little wrong with them because his parents are bringing him out to bars at 17 to drink. There's some judgment calls there that are wrong. You know, it's a whole path with his character and things showing a lack of respect for authority, lack of respect for the law, all of this, and that's being dismissed and brushed under the carpet. And we're being painted a different thing. Not everybody feels the way that I do. Some people feel, you know, second chance, he made a mistake, they did threaten him, you know, he was scared. It's kind of hard because I think the guy that he killed, they said he was like 5'2", went a little short, you know, short, and then with the Napoleon complex, big mouth, short, 5'2", jumping around, making noise, no weapons or anything like that. But he felt so threatened, and I think he looks a little bit tall to me. He looks like he might be about 5'10", 5'11", with a rifle on his back. He felt so threatened that he shot this man 4 times, the last time in his back. I don't know, you shoot somebody the first time and they're going down, and you shoot them 3 more times, once in the back, and he said, I shot him because he wouldn't stop coming. That's your reasoning? I don't know. For me, I wondered at a certain point if he was a little slow, to be quite honest with you. He just kept repeating something like he was brainwashed, and I was like, he's not answering the questions. Does he understand? Is there a comprehension problem?
He was brainwashed. That's what they told him. It's like, listen, this is your script. Stick to your script.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you could not have been that scared if you made the clear decision to leave home with a gun.
It's funny.
You could have been that
when
scared.
When you saw the video, he was running away from the guy that he killed, and then he slowed down. And then he stopped and he turned towards him. Now, it didn't look like the guy would have caught him if he continued to run. So how scared are you? How scared are you if you're running and then all of a sudden you stop and you turn around? No, you made the decision you wasn't running anymore. And they showed, before he shot this guy, the victim, or we can't call him victim, well, whatever you want to call him, had his hands up in the air. So you shot him anyway? Why were you scared that his hands were up in the air? He said he had no shirt on, so he knew he didn't have a weapon.
That's what I'm saying.
Had his hands up in the air and still shot him. And when he shot him the first time and he went down, you shot him 3 more times, including at his back. That sounds like a scared person to me. Sounds scared.
Nah, I don't think, yeah. I mean, well, if you're being sarcastic, then yeah. It doesn't sound like a scared.
I am being sarcastic.
Oh, yeah, I got you, because he sounded real shook shooting somebody, you know, in the back.
That was already on the ground, on his way on the ground.
I mean, in some cases, that would be seen as excessive.
That was the first person he shot. The first person he shot. The second person, he couldn't understand why the crowd started to chase him, because they started screaming, "You killed him." And then he looked panicky, he started running away, and then the crowd started chasing him. And apparently, as they're yelling, you know, he killed him, stop him, a guy with a skateboard, somebody came and knocked his hat off his head, he said he felt that the guy tried to take his head off, you know, which
really?
Caused him to get more panicky.
No, I can't.
And then there
wow.
was,
that's just dramatic.
Yeah.
The guy with the skateboard hit him in the leg with the skateboard and made him fall down. And once he hit the ground, he was scared that the guy with the skateboard was going to hit him again.
This is crazy, man. That's some crazy shit.
So he blew him away and killed him. And that was the second murder. And then it was just like he had a reason why he was shooting people. And it was he was scared. And he had hit me with the skateboard. He was going to kill me. And what are you talking about?
Ain't that some shit?
He hit you with the skateboard and you killed somebody. And you were running away.
Could I say something? Could I say something? Now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Take a little walk with me. I got a gun. Yeah, I see this guy, and he looks intimidating. So I start to run in hopes that he chases me so I can shoot him. I didn't see the video, but just from what you're describing, listen, I don't know how it is in that state. I didn't really read up on their gun laws, but, I mean, if you have a long gun, if you have a gun, period, what is the purpose of retreating? Like, if there was no real confrontation, you know, what were you fleeing from? See, the whole thing is the fact that he ran. He basically drew the guy in because he gave chase, which was his reasoning for shooting him. See, it's a psychological thing behind it. Like, it may look one way, but, of course, let me this guy chase me. I can defend myself, and that's that.
Well,
I don't think he ran because
also,
I don't think he ran because he was scared. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
I don't think he ran because he was scared.
The interesting thing they have on the video, he was at this location A, which he was supposed to be there to protect. That was his mission of going out there. He got a phone call telling him to head down to B because there were protesters lighting fires. So he decided to go to location B, but on his way to location B, he recognized his victim, which, according to him, had threatened him earlier, telling him that he was going to beat him up. So they show that the victim was actually in front of him. He didn't even know that, you know, this Rittenhouse was behind him. I don't know what happened, but somehow he got in front of him, and then he was running. And the guy started chasing him, probably started chasing him because he had the rifle, but I don't know. So it's like if someone is threatening you and you're scared and you see them up ahead and they don't even notice you, why would you make yourself visible?
Exactly. Call the 4600 on the air with the menu.
Man, I'm glad when I used to go to school. This is Pianki coming from the Midwest.
What's up?
Well, hey, man. Hang on for a second.
If you
don't want me on your show, tell me now. All right, hang up.
I just said, all I said was, hey.
It's very easy. It's very easy. Just tell me you don't want me on your show.
Sir.
I tell you what. I won't speak anything. I don't want to put you in any trouble or uncomfortable.
What trouble
feeling.
You put me
Thank
in?
Thank you. You gave a big sigh. Here we go. I'll talk to you later.
Sir, that wasn't me. Okay. So before we go on with the show, this is a gentleman. His name is Pianki. He calls in from time to time, and, you know, God bless him. I'm sorry, sir. You heard wrong. This is Brother B. I wasn't the one that made the sigh. That was someone else. So, you know, I don't really know what that was all about. I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to speak your piece because, you know,
he's free to speak his piece. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to vilify me on my show, and you're not going to make it seem like I'm not trying to hear your opinion or the opinion of others. You heard us. You heard what you heard. That's what you heard. But that wasn't me. So if I'm telling you to speak your piece, if I'm telling you, hey, how you doing? You know, long time no hear. I don't know what you chose to hear or not hear. But once again,
God bless. Thank you for calling in. But you know, I just see it like this. What it boils down to is just really a thing of who we really have to look at the people that we so-called trust, the people that we put in these positions, the people that take these oaths and swear to defend the Constitution and, you know, defend people and this, that, and the third. We really have to take a good look at these type of people. And, yeah, they're human. They're human, too. Not everybody gets it right. And some people take these positions to not do things right. Like me, I don't know this judge. I really don't care about him. But from what it sounds like, he sounds like he's been put in a position where he can just do whatever he chooses to do, and he's good with that. He can skirt the law, manipulate it however he chooses to, and that's on him. I mean, we've seen it constantly, time and time again with police officers. Where I was watching something recently where they were saying a lot of cases, there are cops out there that, you know, in law enforcement that actually fudge, you know, their reports. Or, you know, when they're questioned about something, you know, what happened between them and whatever individual that they're dealing with, whoever they arrested, you know, they kind of, you know, they twist the story or they tweak it to their favor. And it's like, once again, these are people who take an oath to swear. You know, they swear, I'm going to protect people and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do right. But yet you turn around and you do wrong. And that's my problem. Even if you want to take it to the lower level, and yes, I'm going to say it, like, there's some assholes, you know, at our jobs who take these little supervisor positions and they think that they're God. And it's like,
exactly, listen, they become tyrants.
The job, it's 9 to 5. 501, that can be your ass.
All right.
So think about what you do and what you say to people during the course of the day, because your job, your title only exists between the hours of this time and this time. And it's not to make a threat to anyone, whether you're in a uniform, a position of law enforcement, or even a judge. You're not that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's not who you are. It's a job. Or if you want to call it a career, it's a career. You don't retire from your character. You don't retire from being human, but you do retire from a job. So it's not something that you should take serious, because you reap what you sow. Best believe that the universe does not sleep. And the same way this guy is going to give this kid a pass, the same way this asshole Zimmerman is just walking around and thinking that nothing will ever happen. Listen, it doesn't have to happen to you physically. There's nothing has to happen to any of them physically.
Karma's a,
but trust
karma's
me,
a bitch.
Yeah, exactly. And it,
karma's
and,
a bitch.
And my thing is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? Like, someone needs to put this judge under investigation. Then there are people out there that wonder why, after the whole George Floyd thing, they started to look at qualified immunity. Because it said, and I forgot who said it, absolute power corrupts absolutely. So it's like, when you give these people these type of positions and they feel they can just do whatever they want to do, this is what we get. We get a judge that's sitting there saying, I'm not sending this kid to jail. I don't care what you guys think. I don't care about a jury. I don't care about due process. I don't care about the law. I don't care about none of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to find every way to make this kid innocent. And those two people who lost their lives, who cares? They're looters. They're rioters. Who cares? You didn't see them doing anything. You didn't see them rioting. You saw them there, but you didn't see him destroying anything. He didn't even see him destroying anything.
When he pulled out his gun and decided to shoot.
That the last thing that man probably saw was this dude with a gun and was like, hey, what the hell are you doing here?
Right.
And it's sad that he had to lose his life for it. It's just really sad. So, but what even more shocking is the fact that no one cares that two people are dead. No one cares.
This bum came in there with an intent to kill. He came in on a mission. You don't live there. What are you doing with the AR-15 out of protest? You came to Target. You came in there to help.
Now I gotta ask Ms. Cherry. Off of this case alone, what do you see? What do you see after this? Do you see a copycat somewhere along the line, or you know something similar? Like, you know, I mean, because it seems like, it, you know, these cases just repeat themselves. They just, you know, they just tweak it a little differently. But what do you see going forward after this?
I don't think there's going to be a copycat. I was actually speaking to somebody, and honestly, from his point of view, it might be better for him to be in jail than to be on the streets. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, people of color feel a certain way. The Jewish community is going to feel a certain way. But then you also have people amongst his group that feel a certain way. I think that cancel culture that some of them are experiencing, I think he's going to wind up experiencing that in a bigger way than he thought. I can't imagine him. He's an active student at a college in a nursing program. I can't imagine seeing him on TV on Thursday and then say if he's, you know, acquitted and all the charges are dropped and he's able to go home. What does he do on Monday? Show back up at school? I think everybody's going to look at him the same. So I don't think he's
protected.
No, he's not going to be protected. You can't protect
Trust
him
me.
Against their own. I think he has a long road, like you said, karma. I think he has a long road, and if I have to guess, he has that Scarlet A on his back for the rest of his life. When he's amongst his Proud Boys and stuff like that, he may not feel it. But when he gets out in the regular streets and he's traveling and people start to recognize him, I don't think he's going to get that favorable pat on the back or we support you or we understand that he's getting in that courtroom right now.
Ms. Cherry, don't be surprised if a couple of years later you find out somebody hired him in their police department.
Exactly.
Don't be surprised.
Because
don't,
you know
don't
what?
Be
look
surprised.
Look at how they made George Zimmerman like a hero. He was going to every gun show there was.
But wasn't George Zimmerman's father like a judge?
Yes, he was a judge. Yep.
Yeah, so.
Once again.
I mean, it's
once
not,
again.
That's why he was running around with the policeman complex. This kid here filled in the role of a fireman. He filled in the role of the police department. He filled in the role of an EMT. He was doing all three jobs that day. You know, running around playing cop. Playing firefighter, trying to put out fires and in other areas that had nothing to do with him, administering aid to those he said was hurt. I think he said he put a bandage on somebody. I justified
him
being in another state, past curfew, running around with a gun that he shouldn't have had because it was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
All of that because he put a bandaid on somebody. Come on. Come on.
You know what?
I just don't see. I one thing I would, you know, like I said, it's certain things that you just can't compare this case to.
You can't make these things up
but,
because
it's
happened.
No, you, but you can't make it up. But once again, you got to look at the head of the snake. You have to look at
mm-hmm.
the head of the snake. And like I said, I don't really, you know, watch the news like that. You know, I may speak to people. TV can be depressing sometimes, unless it's cartoons.
Oh, yeah, too,
even
too
then,
depressing.
You never know. But, you know, it's just, yeah, but the whole thing is just the fact that it's just sad that, once again, you have someone in a position that's actually misusing and manipulating the law to serve their own purpose. And that is the purpose of, as Miss Cherry said, sending this boy home.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find a serious problem with that. I mean, a lot of these people like that and other people with these bullshit titles, because once again, yes, I will say it out loud, I'm not one for titles. Like, I don't give a damn about, I'm sorry, you know, what you do for a living. You know, it's who you are as a person. Your job is your job, your career is career. But when you try to use that to manipulate or hurt people, I think you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, you know, anything, you know, you got to say on it, Red?
Well, like I said, people like to use their power. They like to, you know, use their power. And that's anywhere. But it shouldn't be in a courtroom where you have to, like I said, where you have to, you know, distinguish guilty from not guilty. And if the evidence is there, and you know the evidence is there, you can't sit there and say, oh, well, you know, we're going to try to do everything in our power, or I'm going to try to do everything in my power to keep this person from going to jail just because of X, Y, and Z. You know, but, you know, that can happen anyway, even if you have a job and the supervisor may know that person personally and they may do something, but because they know that person personally, oh, well, you know, I'm going to try to, you know, get the higher-ups not to fire you or not to reprimand you or whatever. So
it's like, go ahead, Red.
People abuse, you know, like I said, people abuse their power. You know, they abuse the fact that, oh, because I'm a supervisor, I'm this, I'm that, that they abuse it, or they treat people a certain way off of that title. And it's like, at the end of the day, you're still a human being. I don't care what title you got. You ain't no superhero. You ain't going to, you know, you ain't going to jump off a building and start flying or anything like that. You know, but Commissioner Gordon ain't telling you, yo, I need you to go, you know, go rescue these people from the train or whatever. It's like, yo, you're a human being. Mm-hmm. And you should treat people a certain way, because a lot of these people that get in that power, they just, mm-hmm. like, they forget that.
I'm really starting to think that humanity, being human, is becoming a very much of a lost art. Any last words, parting words, Miss Cherry?
I was going to say, not dealing with the case itself, but I found that people who, when they're in a position of authority and they tend to be abusive with it or overbearing, usually it's because they're powerless someplace else. And usually they're powerless in their own personal life, whether it's at home, you know, they're under somebody's control. And when they get someplace where they feel that they can express themselves, I guess, or have that authority, they turn that abuse on to others. So a lot of times when you see these people, these bosses, and they're hostile and they're angry and they're not acting right, something's wrong, they know their life is messed up someplace else. And you should just keep that in mind. This case here, I think this kid, he's not going to get, if he gets time at all, he'll probably be out before the ink dries on the ruling. I think we should expect that. I don't know what type of person he's going to be, because if he's a murderer at 17, what will he be at 30? You know? One thing I can say is I'm glad he's not my neighbor. I'm glad he's not my neighbor, and in my neighborhood, they can deal with him if they let him out on the street.
No, they're going to do like
words, K-Dog?
No, they're going to do like Jeffrey Dahmer.
Any parting words? Listen, the kid, that kid, y'all better watch it with this kid, because he's going to get a lesser charge. The judge is in his favor, because like I said, you cry those crocodile tears on the stand, and you give reasons why for shooting. What do you think is going to happen? He'll get a lesser charge, and then after, like I said, like you guys said, it wouldn't be a shock that he gets hired by the police. But like I said,
Tom
is a bitch.
So with less than 60 seconds left, I want to say thank you for everyone calling in. Thank you, Big Red, Miss Cherry. Thank you, K-Dog. What up, Hot Rod? I know you probably put the kids to bed. It's all good. Absolute Truth Show, Monday nights, 10 p.m., Sean Black, Hot Rod, K-Dog, Blog Talk Radio. And on that note, we're about to take it out. But to all those people with your positions and your titles, just remember, it's a one-shot deal. Eventually, you got to come back and to earth and, you know, get out the clouds and be a regular person. So just try to, you know, try to keep some type of humility about you, man. If not, you know, you're just showing everybody else, man, that you ain't shit, so why should they be shit? Sometimes you got to lead by example. And when you're a bad leader, expect bad effects. On that note, another episode of The Menu, we out. Peace. Enjoy your week.
And peace, guys. Enjoy
your holiday.
Weekend.
Happy
enjoy your holiday.
Everybody.
You guys.
Hey, enjoy the Thanksgiving.
Enjoy the week
enjoy
after.
Holiday.
Thanksgiving.
Peace.
Later,
peace.
Guys.
Be safe, y'all.
Be safe, guys.
Later.